This week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I have totally not Natalie, somebody that I have admired from afar for quite some time. And I'm very excited that you've been able to join me. So, hi, how are you going?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
I'm really well. I'm well. It's the beginning of a new week, and you know, all naughty audio land stuff waits for no one. No rest for the wicked. I love doing these, and I'm really excited to have a chat with you and find out about, you know, what you do here in Naughty Audio Land, and yeah, and how you contribute, because like I said, I've seen your work, and yeah, and I'm a fan. So yeah, I'm really glad you're able to join me today.
Oh, awesome, thanks.
So
yeah, and I appreciate you setting this up too.
Cool, yeah, no,
especially since I think there's like quite the time difference, so
yeah, a little bit. What am I, I'm usually sort of 15 hours or so ahead of the majority of people I talk to, which doesn't work out too bad most of the time, but yeah, I'm grateful we can make it work at all, and you know, gotta love technology. So all good. So totally not Natalie. Can I call you Natalie?
Natalie, all's fine.
So for people who don't know or unaware of how you contribute, what do you do in the erotic and non-erotic audio space?
Well, I'm primarily a script writer. Mm-hmm. I've lent voice to a couple things, but script writing is kind of my bread and butter. So I've written a lot of things, a lot of different genres. Some of my historical scripts really popular. I did a Shakespeare play once for fun.
For fun. Okay, I know which one you're talking about. We can get back to that, but okay.
And then I also like to do some parody stuff. So I know that you helped organize a fill of my Kool-Aid Man script, which I'm really excited to listen to after this. It's just about five Kool-Aid Men.
So I first I've seen Nat's work around for as long as I've been sort of recording and in the space, which really in the scheme of things isn't very long, but yeah, it's the Kool-Aid Men gangbang. That I think we're all still laughing from that first fill. There are actually two groups. I'm lucky enough to be part of the second group, and I'm not sure. I think it's almost ready. It's ready to post, but we'll give the community a minute.
They might need to recover a bit. Yeah. Yes,
to calm down. That first one, I was lucky enough to be part of a bit of an impromptu listening party on a collaborative server that I'm part of, and I lost my mind. I think we're all just, you know, madly typing and laughing our heads off, and just like, this is so good. It's just so good. The second group, yeah, like I said,
I'm excited. I didn't know about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh gosh, there I go. Oh yeah. See, and when I jumped on board for my group, I didn't know, you know, being from the other side of the world, I didn't know what Kool-Aid Men were. So I went, yeah, I'll have at it, because, you know, I'm here for a shitpost or a parody, or, you know, something that's just brings some fun to it. And I started reading the script and thought, what the hell is this? and the rest of the group were like, Wicked, you don't know what Kool-Aid. I said, I know, I've heard that phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid, but I had no concept of the Kool-Aid Man. So, it was the script read. We did a live read.
Oh, wow.
And the other group did a live read as well, I think with all but one, and we had all but one as well. And the outtakes, we might need to send you the outtakes privately, because
I would love that.
They, so yeah, they were quite something. So yes, and yeah, that was kind of hot off the press, because just maybe even a week or so prior, maybe even 2 weeks, talking about your Shakespearean script. Oh my God. For people who aren't aware of it, can you explain a little bit about that particular historical script?
It's honestly something I wanted to do in the community for a very long time. It's just like I tend to be a very goal-oriented person, so yeah. I set up myself goals for the community that no one cares about but me, but are fun. So one was I wanted to post or write 100 scripts, and I made that. And then I was like,
Whoa.
okay, what can I do after I've written 100 scripts? What's left in the land of GWA? And as a very big fan of Shakespeare the Bard, I really was like, I wonder if I can do erotica in Shakespearean style. So I needed a subject. So I thought it'd be interesting to look at like where Shakespeare left off, because he wrote around the time when Queen Elizabeth I was queen, and a little bit into when James wrote or was king, but kind of in that overlap gap period. So he couldn't really do a script about Elizabeth while she was alive, because it wouldn't be good and it might lend to him being beheaded, which would not be great for him. So I'm like, well, if he was going to tell that story, how would he tell it? And then I started researching, and I became fascinated by Elizabeth as a character, because she's so fascinated in terms of how she's basically like the first, unless you count Matilda, and it's kind of hard to count Matilda, the first like
You
real
can't get
queen
yeah.
that England's had. And it's just really interesting to see how she negotiates that role of power and how she blatantly refuses to have children who might usurp her. And it's
Oh,
so interesting and was
absolutely
so much
fascinating,
fun.
right? Yeah, I agree.
And then
How
I
did you how? Because I've read bits and pieces of it. It is a project that I do want to get up and running, and we are and sort of talks about it, but it is just the scope of it is well, you know. But yeah, how did you sort of develop that?
Well, I mean, I started by just seeing if I could kind of write a scene. So I started very, because it follows Elizabeth throughout her life. So it starts basically very early on when she's, still young for purposes of the audio above 18, but still young and kind of learning how to kind of basically be a princess who's not in line in the throne. I'm like, okay, can I do one scene and get it in Shakespeare style? And then I sent it to a couple people. They said, this is uncannily close to Shakespeare. And I'm like, okay, I'm on
Brilliant.
the right track, so I'll keep going. And then throughout the project, I because it's Shakespeare, you have to put in references. I gave myself little challenges. So I made sure that I was going to reference every single Shakespeare play once. So all of them are in there, including some of the ones that they don't think he wrote. And then there's also very fun kind of Easter egg thing is I tried to put the names of other GWA writers that I admired in there.
Oh, that is brilliant.
So there are like references to people's users and names throughout the script, particularly in Acts 4 and 5 is when I really got into that.
And has that, I don't actually know, has it been filled? Has the entire, have all five acts been produced somewhere?
I did a couple live recordings of it with some of my friends on kind of our own private server back when it first came out, but it's not been filled publicly yet. So anyone's welcome to take a stab at
I mean, there's
it.
still interest amongst the server that I'm on for sure. It's just it's at home, you know. And but everyone's excited because there's really nothing like it. So yeah, I think for those who, you know, perhaps have a vested interest in Shakespeare or have studied or you know been theatre majors or anything like that, yeah, there's it's challenging and but still incredibly, you know, thrilling to put something out there that is such a contrast to but still has that underlying obviously the erotic nature of it. So yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Thanks. Yeah, there's no. I've also wanted to like produce it before, and it's just like I've gotten so overwhelmed with overproject because of the sheer scope of it. So.
And it really does need full attention. I wouldn't even just sort of reading through the small amount that I have. She's like, okay, this is a project. This really is
Yeah,
a
it's
full
not.
production.
We've discovered from the live recording also that we did just for fun in one of the community servers that it's not really something you can do like fluidly in one take. You need a couple like
No.
practice tries, some of the longer lines.
I would imagine so. Nat, how long have you been in the community for people who don't know?
I think close to 3 years now. Wow, it feels weird to say that, which I know for some people that's like a really, really long time, and for others it's a really, really short time, just because in the land of GWA, I think anyone who's been here longer than you is old, and anyone who's been here shorter than you is new, and that's always how it's been.
That's so
But
true.
I started in May of 2019, I think. So
And how did you come across the space? Is Was it something were you a listener, or were you a consumer of the content here, or how did you discover GWA?
Weirdly, no. So a fun thing that I tell some people about me is that I've never actually seen porn or even
Okay.
sought out porn before I
Right.
found GWA.
Uh-huh.
I am into like BDSM kink, so I was looking at one of the BDSM blogs basically, or one of the other subreddits on BDSM, excuse me. And I was clicking on that, and then I was looking over some people's profiles, like you do, to see like what other types of subreddits might interest me. And I saw that one of the people who had posted on a BDSM subreddit also posted on Gone Wild Audio. And then I clicked on there, and I was had no idea what it was. And I clicked on their audio, and despite never really seeking out porn ever, at least not visual porn, I've always been incredibly just attracted to the sound of the human voice. Not just erotically, but just in general. Like I'm the type of person who will like listen to DVD commentaries and will still buy DVDs just to listen to the commentaries because I just love listening to people talk. And I never really thought to pair that with kink ever before. I'm just like, I like listening to people talk and I also like, sex like a lot of people do. But I never really thought that those two things went together. And then I was like, oh, they do. This is amazing. So then I spent about a week listening, and I'm just a very active person. So I wanted to be closer and more involved in the community. So about a week after that, I posted my first script on Pillow Talk Audio. Very tame thing, not even sexy, just about people arguing over what to get for dinner. And since then, it's just been evolving and exploring my style. And yeah.
Brilliant. And have you come from a writing background, or you just thought, I just need to get words down on paper and share?
I have done technical writing, so I understand like the basics of grammar and syntax and stuff like that because I have to for my real life job. But I never tried creative writing before I entered the GWA space, which is part of why it's just so much fun.
And in doing that, and sharing, and you're saying wanting to be an active member of the community, is that's what motivates you to share that, like that creative, is it, it's also a creative outlet for you? Would that be right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where like creative writing has always interested me, but I couldn't think of a way to do it that would be satisfying for me. So like obviously you can self-publish, but you don't really know who's interacting with your stuff if you self-publish. And like if you write fan fiction, which I 100% respect, but it's not for me. It's just you get maybe a couple comments, but it's not really the same as somebody like interacting with your work. But in GWA, you get to have these amazing voice performers bring your work to life in these awesome ways. And it's just like this person really read and understood my words and loved them enough, or at least liked them enough, that they wanted to express that. And that's just, it's so awesome to do this, like make this collaborative art with people. It's amazing and obviously extremely addicting, as I've been here almost 3 years now. So,
And you say over, like, your initial goal was sort of 100 scripts. So, goodness me, when did you reach that goal? Like, do you have any idea of the volume that you've put out so far?
It at this point I've stopped keeping count because it's just gotten impossible. I think my public listing on Script Guild, right, or Script Bin right now is about 160. There's a bunch more privately listed stuff and projects and other stuff. So, and it's also sometimes hard to count like where one script ends and another begins if it's part of a series. So I don't really know how we count that, but it's definitely over 100. Maybe someday we'll get up to 1,000. Maybe that'd be my next goal.
Goals, people, goals. Just like, oh God, that's incredible. I do a little bit of script writing for commissioning websites for myself to fill and for actual commissions. And I finished one last night, and I just thought, I don't actually have the energy to record this now. I'm so spent after writing. So, and these were only sort of 1,000, 1,500, some of them up to sort of 3,000 words. But I just think, what is your process like? How do you like, where do you find your subject matter, or your content, or what inspires you? What's your impetus for creating a script?
It can vary a lot. So I started off as like a very slice of life-esque writer. So the first stuff I did was just very basic, like people cleaning out the closet together, people going to dinner, people celebrating New Year's Eve together. And that was where I felt most comfortable for a while. And then
Sure.
my kind of, I think, takeoff point was a credit to a friend in the community who really
Yeah.
wanted to do a noir series.
Okay.
And I discovered I really liked noir writing. So I did this series called
Right.
Detective in the Red Dress, which was the first
Yes.
like major series I did. And her fills of it were incredible.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun for me. And then I was like, I really want to think more about like genre writing and how I
Yeah.
can make a genre like real or realistic. So my process for writing starts by kind of picking a genre that I'm interested in writing in,
Sure.
and then considering about what that genre is that's sexy.
Okay.
And sometimes it's also just kind of, so one trick I use for more like now that I've done a bunch and sometimes struggle to come up with new concepts are I go to the aesthetics wiki. So
Oh, okay.
aesthetics wiki is like a place where you can look at different aesthetics, and sometimes I'll just hit randomize page and pick up a random page. So for instance,
Right.
my latest script is called Dress of a Thousand Pockets, which is
Yes.
about a princess and a witch get together, and basically the princess commissions the witch to make her a dress of a thousand pockets, and then sexy stuff ensues.
Yeah.
But the inspiration for that, weirdly enough, was I did a randomization of that page and it landed on cargo shorts. I'm like, okay, what can I do with
Wow.
cargo shorts?
All right.
I'm like, cargo shorts, pockets. Women are always complaining about pockets. Maybe I should.
Exactly. Yes. Never enough pockets. Okay.
And that's how I got on that point. And I'm like, ooh, fantasy, witch. So it's a lot of very like it's very freeing in a way because you just let your mind do like this free association at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a look at it at the moment. I love a twisted fairy tale. But yeah, okay.
But yeah,
That's
the
oh, and
inspiration for that
someone's filled
was
it
two people have
already.
so far,
Oh,
which
that's
is
brilliant.
amazing. So
Oh, I must get on that. Okay, so like so random, so must be quite liberating in a way. Just like, just have at it, throw it at me.
yeah,
Yeah,
I mean,
that
I'm
free
definitely
association.
somebody who starts with concept as opposed to sex. I know a lot of people start with sex as opposed to concept, which I respect,
Yeah,
but
yeah. This is how you.
for
This is your
me,
process.
yeah. For me, I always like to have the concept drive me first. And then the phrase that I use sometimes, which is borrowed from musical theater, is in musical theater, like music is supposed to be this like momentous thing that follows from the act that's going on. So the phrase that they always use in musical theater is if you can't talk, sing. And if you can't sing, dance. And each should just progress into each
Yeah.
other. We're kind of cascading through emotions. And that's what I like to do with my scripts, where I'm like, once nothing else is possible anymore, then sex has to occur. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like you're heightening so
Yeah.
much to that moment.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. That's I think I might be the other way around. I kind of start with, right, what sex needs to happen here? How am I going to construct something around that to get to that point? Whereas I really like your it's a different perspective, isn't it? It's a totally different approach to yeah, develop something and it not the impetus not be like get to the sex. I mean, obviously we get to the sex most of the time. But yeah, no, I that's really interesting. Having a look through your script crypt, love that. I'm seeing the different genres, yeah, that you sort of explored. Has that so obviously you've moved from sort of slice of life to noir scripts, and has that just sort of slowly evolved over the 3 years? You've just sort of branched out and discovered, like, do you read other people's scripts for any sort of inspiration or new ideas, or does things that you see on Script Guild, does do they kind of prompt you in a way? Just think, oh, I don't know anything about that particular genre, maybe I'll have a read.
Oh yeah, I read people's scripts all the time, and I'm
Yeah.
obviously friends with a lot of other writers,
Yes,
and
yeah.
am in some writing servers as well, where we just talk about writing and bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah.
The community is also just, I think, a really big source of inspiration in general.
Yeah.
If you're, I know not everyone's comfortable being part of like the Discord aspects of the
Sure,
community, but I
sure.
am, and it's just like the Kool-Aid Man scripts and a lot of other scripts are just me and some of my friends in the community just talking on
Just shooting
VCs about like stuff, and then you're like.
the shit. Oh, there's a prompt. There's a script. Yeah, I get it. Even within this, it's one of these creator servers. I mean, I just yeah, I get up each morning given the time difference, and It's more often than not the general room chat is pretty much fueled by the script writers and one of them will lead off with, something, and then it's just massive sort of snowball effect of, goodness that sort of pours forth. And the ideas that come through are quite incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously the community, just because of how quick the turnover is, even just being here close to 3 years so now, you can see how much it just evolves even in that short amount of time. And I know people who have been here longer than me who like were here when the first like script offers became a thing, because they weren't initially. It was just people basically moaning into a microphone, which is still very hot. But the idea that you could tell stories in this medium was something that evolved in the community. And now I think it's evolved even further since I've been here, where we have way more elaborate projects and really elaborate scripts. And it's amazing to watch it just kind of get better and better as time goes on. It's so awesome.
I guess with the, making these collaborative projects, they are some of them are, are getting up to sort of full scale productions. When I jumped on one for another writer over Christmas, and it was a 4M production, and we started talking about, okay, so editing, right? How's that happening? And then, oh, hang on, we need artwork. And then, and then it's just like, okay, how do we link all these together? And there was a full sale sort of production timeline on it. I just think it's all free audio porn. Come on now. But it warranted, the script really warranted such a level of detail and production. And you're right, or you could just, someone's either going to look at it, click on it, play it, or maybe just that day, just going, I just want to listen to a ramble fab. So you had something that's had, hours and hours and multiple hours, that particular one, of time and energy invested into it by a number of people. Or you can just, and not to dissuade people or discourage or shame a ramble fab, I'm here for them. I'm a fan.
Me too.
But yeah, this I love the range, the diversity within the community now of what, if you really want to immerse yourself into an hour plus long audio with full sound design and preludes and interludes and all of that sort of thing, it's like, yeah, it's there for you.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about audio is just that there's basically no budget, especially if you're a writer. Like my imagination can take it as far as I want to take it, because for pretty much anything, you can get a couple sound effects or make a few silly sound effects, and it just works. You can go anywhere in the universe, and that is just so liberating because there's no restrictions other than your imagination.
That I when you so when once you've written a script or you sort of partway through, so you share it with other script writers for feedback. Is that a fairly common practice to look for feedback, or do people sort of script writers work independently, or a bit of both?
It varies a little bit. Typically for me, if I'm trying a new concept or if I know somebody does a particular concept well, then I'll ask for feedback before I'm going ahead, especially if it's like a concept that I'm maybe a little bit less comfortable with. So for instance, on the Shakespeare stuff, because it was entirely new, I was like, okay, are the beats right on this? So I gave it to a couple of my friends who I trusted, and they were like, nope, this is great, move on. And then another thing that I do a lot with some of mine is just ask for help tagging them as well, because I want to make sure that like the tags are, accurate representations for what people click on, because I want people to like get the content that they want. So I ask some people to like help me, okay, does this tag make sense for this audio, or would you use this one? And that's a lot of what I do.
All right. So you get your feedback and support in that way. Do you, what's your sort of timeline for producing a new script? And do you have a kind of standard, word count or like a range, or does it really just depend on the genre and the scene that you're creating?
It depends on like how big I envision the project being at the beginning. So for any of the longer projects I did, they were storyboarded in the sense of having an outline. So for Elizabeth, I knew what was going to happen through basically Act Five by the time Act One was finished. And for a few of the mystery ones I've done, and the Hellfire Club, which is another like big massive collab, I had timelines for all of those, and I also had like here's what's going to happen here. Here's what's going to happen here. Here's what's going to happen here.
Right.
And then for me, once stuff is like, I know what I'm writing, the process for me tends to be very, very quick from that to draft.
Okay.
So the Elizabeth script was written over a, I think, a period of about a week and a half, if you can believe that.
What?
It was basically all I was doing because I get obsessed. Like, I can't stop myself from doing it. And it's kind of annoying because it also means that literally anything else I'm doing gets thrown on the back burner.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. I need to finish this because I also want to eat sometime, like today. And I can't. So it's
should probably shower, you know, maybe get outside, get some sun, maybe. Yeah. I get it. Wow. A week and a half? Oh my, it'd take me a week and a half to read it. Just that. Wow. That's incredible. That's yeah. Wow.
More insane, I think, than incredible. Was probably not the best idea that I have.
But I get it. I totally get where I'm 100 or nothing too, which isn't great in terms of, you know, tunnel vision. And it's like, okay, yeah. You need to sort of log in with real life at some time, like get off your Mac, or get out of the wardrobe. I do understand that sort of obsessive nature.
A little bit more like with my writing time now, because between last year and this year, I started a new job, which has been great for me. It's like a really great job that I really, really love, but it also means that I have to be a lot more careful about balancing my time in the community and out. So
yeah.
Now I try to designate writing time. So for instance, I took a couple months off last year, basically just to get acclimated to my new job. And now I'm kind of inching my way back into the community.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to accept to myself that I'm like, okay, you can't be at the level of production you were at before. It's just not going to be possible anymore.
It's a sad realization, I would imagine. I would, yeah. I too, similarly, in the last couple of weeks, have more than this last month decided how much time I am going to allocate to this space and the level, just that level of commitment and what's feasible and what's workable that does ensure that I log in with real life and eat and shower and see the sun. Just real life. But I get how it draws you in, right? It's just
it does. And it was really helpful at me at a time in my life that was just very much in transition. Some people in the community know, in between 2019 when I started and now, I moved over 30 times due to the transient nature of my work. I'm thankfully in a permanent place now, but I was,
did you say basically 30?
Yes, over 30, as in more than 29.
Did you just live in a suitcase? Wow. Okay, all right.
I basically lived out of my car, and it was just me and my dog for quite a bit. And like, this place was just kind of like the home, as sappy as that sounds, that I needed during that time period. Because it just was a place that I could go back to and that felt like home when I didn't really have one.
It was, I guess it's stable, right? It's not moving 30 times, or it's not a new location, you know, every month or so, or however frequently it was. But yeah, I totally get that there is a stability here, and there's a set group of people. They're not moving. They're still in the computer somewhere, you know. I get how this could be a place of refuge in a way.
Yeah, it's having a creative outlet basically where I can just focus on something that's not my real life, which obviously you should never just ignore your real life. Your real life is very, very important, but having an escape from it when it's not going well can be super nice and super great. And also in the end, I think honestly helped me get where I am now with a job that I actually really enjoy and a life that's a lot more stable, because I didn't really realize it at the time, but both writing and also just being part of this community, we're able to talk to people about stuff like writing is actually a really helpful and useful skill set to kind of take with you in the world.
Yeah, I get it. So sort of drawing on support, do you mean, and engaging?
Yeah, it kind of just gives you stuff to fall back on, and also just helps you, because writing's a skill you need for pretty much anything.
Mm. Yeah.
Think of new ways to kind of express yourself or ideas.
Yeah, I guess, everyday communication, right? It's I understand. With your in your real life, do friends, family, people that you are in real life with, are they aware of what you do here in the space and how you contribute?
Some of my close friends are aware. I can't tell anyone who's just kind of a mere acquaintance just because my job is fairly high profile and I try to be protective of that. It's honestly something I've struggled with being more open about lately just because I am really proud of the work that I do in this community and I do want more people to know about it. And I know this sounds weird, but sometimes I forget that it's like porn. It's like, oh, this is
Yes,
just
no.
art.
I get it. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's the creation on the production of something, right? It's not solely focused around porn, although there is that undercurrent of it always, or most of the time. But yeah, I get it because I'm much more focused now than I was, say, a year ago on, on the production of what I'm creating and wanting to make it the very best I can, not just, again, I'm a fan of the ramble fat, but not just like, taking care of business into a microphone.
I mean, yeah, not being able to tell someone you wrote a Shakespeare play is actually kind of hard.
Oh, I
Because you're
can
just like,
imagine. I
I
can
wrote this really cool
imagine.
thing, but it's for an audio porn subreddit, and you might not understand.
That's another conversation, but I wrote this really cool thing. Just like, you don't understand. It took a week and a half of my life, but I wrote it. I'd want to share that too. I'd really want to, get that out there.
There's also
So go on.
the interesting, so I didn't really think about this when I created my username, but my real name is obviously not actually Natalie, but because I'm so used to being referred to that and it's an actual person name, when I hear it in real life now, I turn my head,
Huh?
even though it's
What?
not my name.
That's not my name. Call me Nat. That's not my name. Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I could understand that could be a little, confusing at times.
Yeah, so if I was going to go back and do one thing over, I might make my name like not a name that people actually have, like totally not Aliquasha or something.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So may I ask, when you write, do you ever write with sort of specific BAs in mind? I know that sort of that question comes up regularly, I find with script writers. Is that something that you consider?
The only times where I've done it blatantly is when somebody has asked me to write for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the Detective in the Dress series, a friend of mine asked me to write that for them.
Brilliant.
So it was listed publicly, but it was listed with them in mind. Other than that, I really don't, just in part because it's impossible to know all the VAs in the community. And like there could be somebody totally new who finds your scripts and just loves it. And honestly, some of my like feels that are really, really special to me, a lot of them have come from people who are just like, I didn't record anything in the past, but like your script was just so awesome that I had to try. And I'm just like, that is the most amazing thing.
Isn't
Because I got somebody to try something new and different.
I can imagine. And I often wonder that when sometimes I think script writers, I get this impression, and I could be completely wrong, but that you putting your words out there is almost, not that it's competition, but almost that much more vulnerable than a VA, voicing or filling a script, because obviously your words from your mind, and I feel it because I primarily do script fills publicly. I just think I'm reading somebody else's words, words that I connect with. And I know some people just some VAs, it's more a performance for them. It's an act. My sort of motivation is I need to have that inherent connection or want to explore that connection with the character or with the script itself. But I forget where I was going with that because I bang on a bit. Oh yeah, so when you put your words out there, is it I kind of wonder, is it like sort of I don't know, akin to like, there's my baby. There it is. Is anybody going to pick it up? Like, were you nervous the first time you posted a script? Worried that would it get filled or not? Or were you just happy
Oh.
that I wrote it and there it is? It's done. It's out in the ether.
The first time I was terrified the first time. I think everyone's terrified the first time they post anything. I was just like, I was too afraid to even do like not safe for work stuff when I started. And I'm just like, okay, and I'm also somebody who just, because I didn't come from a creative writing background, like I had no idea if I could write or if my writing would make sense. And then I posted the first thing and it got a fill pretty much the next day by somebody who unfortunately is no longer in the community, but I think that post is still active and I was close to when I started, and it was amazing. It was just the most amazing
How
feeling
does that
ever.
feel to have someone interpret your words, your thoughts, your innermost, your internal dialogue to an extent? And I get you're creating a character, but for something like that, that's kind of slice of life, how does that feel?
I mean, it's amazing. I'm trying to think. There's no other feeling that I found that's like that feeling, which I think is part of why I've come back to it and keep coming back to it over this long, because it's just like somebody took this piece of art that I created and is understanding it, interpreting it, and adding to it to bring it to life in the most possible way. So it's like you made this painting, and then somebody else came along and then took that painting and made it into this like real life sculpture that's even cooler. And
Oh
it's
gosh,
so
that is a
amazing.
beautiful way to describe it. You're right. It's sort of taking it from that sort of two-dimensional to a three-dimensional type application.
It's obviously very, very addictive and very, very fun. And again, it's why this relationship between like script writers and VAs is so important. And
And what about when you get, I often wonder, like when you have a script that gets multiple fills, to hear, different, so many different and varied interpretations of the same words. Like that would just blow my mind if that was my creation out there.
It's again, it's amazing, and like people are always, I think, hesitant to do like scripts that have already been filled. But honestly, like as a writer, I love that, just seeing everyone's different like interpretations of the same piece. And I've seen scripts that have been like I wrote with one particular like I guess kind of dialectic in mind, and both script or VAs like filled it totally differently. And it's so fascinating to see that, because it's basically like a different art piece at that point. And it's so awesome to kind of see the different ways that they take it or the different directions that they take it in. And
I can imagine. And I get what you're saying. Some people might be turned off. Some VAs may be turned off saying, oh, well, it's got multiple fills. Nobody's going to want to hear mine. Yet, as the script writer, I would just be going, yes, please do it. Please do it. I want to know, how are you going to bring my words to life?
yeah, it's amazingly awesome. And yeah, I some of my favorite, like it's impossible to pick like a favorite fill. We don't do that because they're all just so different and so varied and so amazing. And it's really not about like sound effects or FX, although I know a lot of VAs put effort into that too. Like I seen really, really great fills with like amazing production quality and FX, but I've also just seen really great fills that are just somebody with a microphone and you can tell that they're trying and they're having fun. And those are really awesome too.
There's such, again, there's such a diverse range of production, not quality, but just, from people with, dare I say it, soundproof little booth like I'm sitting in currently, as opposed to somebody who is in their car recording into their phone. But they can still be as equally as powerful and immersive. And I get it. So this month is Script Writer Appreciation Month. It's something that I've really struggled with for probably, I don't know, sort of the last sort of 9 months or so since I've, oh, actually, really since I started recording, and the recognition of the contribution that script writers make, and other members, because everything is, based on it's the VA. It's like actors in general, right? Actors and screenwriters and editors and the production crew and all that sort of thing are the behind the scenes people. How have you has it been an interesting month so far for you to see these this flair being used? And I believe, am I right in that's GWA? It's not Audible. I can't remember. I get a little confused between
Yeah, I
the
think
two.
it's GWA. I know Audible tries to do stuff for scriptwriters too. It's again awesome to see the appreciation and support. It's not like a really great and easy way you can support a script writer is just by filling one of their scripts, because again, that's just always awesome. But it's always nice to see the recognition. I will say that I typically have felt like, I know a lot of script writers sometimes feel a little bit frustrated, but I don't mind. Like, I've always felt appreciated by like my VAs. Like, all the VAs I've worked with have been just great and amazing and really grateful and like respectful of my work and really awesome people. So it's always been awesome, but it is nice to kind of have that recognition a little bit more in terms of the community. Although we do have some pretty big name writers too. So I definitely know like a lot of writers who have fans, and that's awesome.
I am that relationship with the script writer, I think, is so I don't know. It's integral. It's such a symbiotic relationship for me, and I do interact with a handful of script writers who, I've been fortunate enough for them to write things with me in mind, and specific characters, and develop series in that matter. But I think the awareness and the recognition is building and is growing. And
Yeah,
we're,
that's
as
awesome.
VAs, we're trying to encourage people to say, hey, if you leave a comment, don't, remember these are someone else's words. Or we always, well, as a VA always, the standard practice is to tag. If you're listening and you're a new VA, always tag your script writer. If you're filling a script, tag your script writer in the comments, because they don't get a notification if it's in the body of the post. But yeah, also just acknowledging when you get however many comments on an audio, and it is a script fill, just to always, I always try and direct those comments to be just like, this script writer was amazing and created this such an immersive scene for me, and for me to fill. And yeah, just that acknowledgement, it doesn't take much, but
Yeah, I try to do
I
that
think it
as
means
like
a
a
lot.
commenter as well whenever I'm like commenting on someone else's work. If it's a VA and writer collab, I always try to give compliments to both the VA and the writer in my comment just because they both deserve them.
Absolutely. It's a collaborative project, I guess. Audio, it takes both. So yeah, another sort of, not a gripe, but an issue that, or something that I do sort of address, and I know other VAs have started will have addressed this in the past, is when, very supportive commenters or listeners tag us in, or tag VAs in script offers. It's a little problematic. I know I've talked about this in another Get In My Ears. Again, if you are a new listener, that it can be problematic in that, if I'm tagged in something, I will privately message that particular listener. And whilst I'm grateful to be considered by that person to think that I could do this, or they'd like to hear it, my interpretation of it, it can, can be a little bit awkward if it's not really my bag, or it could, and then I might feel a sense of obligation to fill it, and it could make the script writer feel a little bit awkward, but also it can deter other VAs from filling that script. So if you are if you have commented, if you're listening and you have commented and tagged, yeah, just, I don't know, just, I don't know, reach out privately, or find out how that VA likes to be sort of approached. Actually, just this morning, I've seen another a script offer go up, and saying exactly that. Find out how the VA, that you might have in mind, would like to be approached, or if they're open to suggestions of scripts. I think everybody then is, sort of respected, and everything's cool. I would.
And keep in mind that, like, this is a complicated community. You don't know like the relationship that the script writer and the VA have. So
That's
posting
true.
sometimes can
Exactly.
maybe not be like, maybe those are people who, for whatever reason, like were in a relationship once, because that happens sometimes, and they broke up and now they don't want to be doing each other's work, and you've just created like a really awkward situation.
Yeah,
For
it's
the
like,
record, that has not
yeah.
happened to me, but that is something that can
Yeah,
happen.
and like you, that was so well put. Yeah, this is can it is a very complicated community at times. We are, these, given the content that is created and shared and listened to, it's can be very personal and intimate and interpersonal, and interactions, can ensue. But yes, I hadn't actually thought about that. that could be awkward. It's like, yeah, nah, I don't want to feel that. No. But even having to say publicly, yeah, it's
Well,
thanks,
yeah, and
but
also,
no
like,
thanks.
if a script is offered publicly, at least with me, if a script's offered publicly, that means that I want anyone to do it who wants to do it. That's the point of offering it publicly. And targeting a specific VA just makes one a writer really uncomfortable because you're like, I didn't ask this person to do this, and now I've got to go negotiate the situation on a script that I posted when I didn't want to negotiate the situation. And also, this makes it less likely for other people to do this cool artwork that I created because now this person has been recommended to do it. And that's not really fair to me as a writer because I want as many people to do it who feel comfortable doing it.
I actually saw one the other. I haven't seen something like that for a little while, but I did see one only a couple of days ago. Tagged a couple, somebody tagged a couple of, sort of, I'm going to say it, high profile VAs, and it was something that I was looking at. I just went, oh, okay. And I know better. I know it's like, if I want to fill the damn script, I'm going to fill the damn script. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, that's my motivation, is if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And in the beginning, I couldn't care less who had filled it because I didn't know anybody. But over time I've become, a little, oh my God, imposter syndrome kicks in, and all of that, just like, oh, I'm not worthy. But then I sort of, reset that sort of thinking and think, well, if I want to fill it, I'm gonna fill it. But I can understand how that could be intimidating. Because I have felt that. With your work, do you where do you share your work, and where do you post primarily your offers?
It depends. So obviously if I'm doing anything gay or sapphic, I try to check out the gay or sapphic servers. So I posted, for instance, my latest script, which was very sapphic, on the sapphic server, which got a lot of great support there.
Love that.
I pretty much always, no matter what, try to post in Script Guild, because in my mind that's where anyone who's looking for a script is gonna go, is Script Guild. And then I tend to alternate between Audible or GWA, depending on, I guess, the nature of the script. Stuff that's a little bit more personal to me, I tend to post in Audible. Or if
Is
it's
that
like
right?
something that I think is like more, because GWA just has everyone, that's where most of the listeners go. But if there's something that's really just community based or like an in joke on the community, because I've written a few like parody scripts that are just in jokes in the community, I've posted them more in Audible. So.
Oh, I didn't realize that there would be potentially some sort of differentiation between those two. But that makes complete sense.
And I posted, I think, my parody scripts over there back while the parody chaos was going on in GWA, and it was unclear if we were supposed to post parodies there or not. But
Well, I'm glad that's been cleared up, actually.
yeah.
And I think actually it has probably prompted the barrage of shit posts that have come out. I know on our little server it's just like, oh yeah, we're gonna do, and this, and part of that was, yeah, Kool-Aid Man gang bang. To a point where it's like, the casting went out for one group. I jumped on it without even having a clue what I was doing. And then someone else just went, oh God, I missed it. I was like, let's do a second group. Do a second group. Why not do a,
Why not?
and actually it's the second group that posted the other day, and I'm just so glad that, there are going to be two of those out there. But
Am
yes,
so
yeah.
excited. This is amazing.
I will have to send you the outtakes, that have been posted. Yes, that was a challenge as a live read. We did our best, but so much fun, and it
Was
is,
listening.
really fun. I think that's kind of what
I was listening
we
to
forget
like
about.
the first fill that was posted with a friend. They were somebody who knows that I do this, and they're in the community too, so, or at least involved. So we were listening to it, and they were like, "You really put a lot more thought into a Kool-Aid Man shit post than I thought anyone would." And I'm like, "Yeah, looking back, there actually is more lore in this than I probably intended to begin with."
Just I even because I don't read scripts before I record them, but that one I had to because I had no reference, and I said to in our group chat, in our project chat, can someone flick me, are that it? Can someone flick me the ads? I understand there are Kool-Aid Man ads. Is that it? This is what this was. So then I just got a heap of, and I was number two. I was 80s/90s Kool-Aid
Oh,
Man,
nice.
and so I was just like, okay, what am I doing? Am I channeling? What am I, my Valley Girl? No, am I, Bill and Ted's? Am I, what? Just so much fun. But even hearing the first group that posted, the Aughties, I think that's how BSA pronounced it, the noughts, that Kool-Aid Man number five, just thinking, oh, I think there's some line in there about like gender is a social construct. Is it Stan? What Stan? But the interaction between the five, eras, I guess, it was just so well written, Nat. And for someone who doesn't know the concept but still obviously has a understanding of different decades, I thought, wow, it was, yeah. And fun fact, I pronounce aspartame aspartum. Here in Australia, I think it's more commonly aspartum.
Oh, interesting.
So that was a bit of a debate during the at the beginning of the read, and I was like, you know what, you fuckers, I'm gonna say aspartum. I'm not saying aspartame. But then, Kool-Aid Man 3, comes in with, aspartame as a aspartime. If you listen to it, you'll get the context. But it's like, yeah, that doesn't work if I say aspartum. It doesn't. Oh, hang on, what? But yes, so brilliantly written. And
Oh,
but
thank you.
to go from that to a five-act Shakespearean tome, like, we were all sort of discussing and having a look through your work at the time. She went, she did what? She did, but and then she made that. It's like, so I think it's quite incredible the range and the breadth
Thank you.
of work that you've shared with this community. I mean, it's one thing to create it, but then to share it and be so public about it. So thank you.
Yeah,
I now know about Kool-Aid Men coming through walls, and all puns intended. Just, yeah, that whole, yeah, it's been a learning curve for
yeah, that's, I mean, the thing I always like tell people about, because I have been here a while and
me.
people ask me like how I keep going or how I don't get burnt out. And honestly, the thing about like me and my writing is like, I just like being able to do what I want to do and putting my art out there. I'm not really a big fan of chasing trends or upvotes. I respect people who like want that recognition in the community, and I definitely get that it can be kind of devastating if you're just putting something out there that you put your soul into and it just flops, which happens to everyone, I think, on occasion. But if you just remove kind of the popularity aspects from the equation and just do what you love, it's so much more freeing.
It's
I can
very
just do whatever I
liberating,
want. It's so great.
I when you let go of that, chasing fake internet points, and Reddit fame or whatever fame, and I get everybody has their different motivation, and but I agree with you. And there are times when, I've invested, a fair amount into something, and it's just gone ba bong, or it's been buried, within the hot post thing. I have my own sort of issues with that. When you just let it go and just post and walk away and be proud of what you've done, that's so, I get an immense amount of satisfaction out of that. So yeah, I can imagine. One other thing I wanted to ask you, I'd noticed that some of the writers in our server were talking about they'd lost a fill, and I thought, oh, what's that? And sort of, scrolled back through the chat, and it's when users or VAs delete their accounts, and then that fill is often removed as well. Does that, and I hadn't actually thought about that you're losing something as well potentially. Would that be right?
Yeah, you're definitely, there are a couple of like fills that were, again, I don't think like, I don't like obviously rank fills, but there are a couple that are like special to you for very sentimental reasons. Like, your first fill is always going to be special to you. Or if you're like friends with somebody and you knew it was a struggle with them, that'll be special to you. And losing those in particular can be really hard. Obviously, respect, this is a community of amateur porn creators. For a variety of reasons, people have to move on, and you understand that, and it's obviously a safety issue sometime to keep some of your work up. But it can still just be hard to, like, you know, lose that really great piece of art that you collaborated on together, as you're moving forward in the community.
I guess I have a bit of a different perspective on that now, having seen, you know, that sort of conversation occur in that space with those writers, that yeah, it does have some sort of impact potentially. Moving forward in terms of your writing and what's coming up next for Nat in terms of projects.
So I've
Or
been
should I
debating.
ask? I'm wondering, I'm scared. I'm
I
just
don't know. It's
looking.
fine. Sometimes I tend to do shorter stuff just by impulse, so we'll see. One thing that I'm interested in doing going forward is what I would like to call the poetry project.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I've been really wanting to do a script between, like, the historical characters of Keats and his lover Frenny for a while. And there's a lot of letters that they exchanged that I would love to, like, reference, because I've done a couple scripts where I've, like, referenced actual writers. So, for instance, I did one with, like, René Descartes and Princess Elizabeth, where, like, I referenced some of Descartes' writing. So I want to do that again with Keats. And then I wanted to make that a poetry kind of series being kind of more long term, so over the course of, like, several months with different writers. So, like, Mary and Percy Shelley, maybe.
Right, so
Or,
that's kind
yeah.
of the focus at the moment,
Yeah.
or a more a long-term focus.
So yeah, that'd be something I'm interested in. More short term, my goal this year, I think, was just to explore tags that I haven't explored yet. So I did a DDLG script. I do like that kink. It's just for whatever reason, I couldn't get it into, like, a script format that I like as somebody who tends to be a little bit more story oriented. And then I did my first sapphic script in quite a while, which was really great. I actually want to do another sapphic script almost instantly. So,
So take that sort of momentum and that and
yeah.
energy and run with it.
And yeah, and then I've also, like, saw that the kink of the month for some of the communities is water sports. So I'm like, I've never really explored that before. That'd be interesting.
That's yep. I haven't actually listened to those. A friend of mine posted one recently, and yeah, I thought, oh, I must save that. But do you listen much these days? Yeah, I'm keen to know.
Not as much as I used to. So, for instance, I still need to comment on the last Kool-Aid Man fill. I have listened to that one and both of the fills for the Dress of a Thousand Pockets script. So that's on tonight's project. Because it's just, there are moments where you just kind of need a break. But, like, when I have more free time, because my job kind of has lulls and peaks, I tend to listen quite a bit.
And
Again, my
like to your own fields, to fields of your own work, or just a variety?
I always listen to fills of my own work because, like, you know, somebody took your time to do those things, and also they're amazing and wonderful. A major thing that I also listen to is actually just podcast and AMA performances, just because I really like getting to know people a lot, kind of how they work, how they tick, particularly if it's somebody I've seen around the community a little bit. I'm just like, that person does, I know, this type of stuff. Maybe they do DDLG content, or maybe they do Monster Girls. I'm like, I wonder how that associates with, just because I'm somebody who likes to psychoanalyze who they are as a person. I wonder how they incorporate that into their sense of self. So.
Recently I had a chat with someone, and we were saying exactly that. How does what you choose to perform or to record, is that a reflection of the person behind the mic? Is it a personal reflection of you, or are you creating a piece of art, or is it an act? Is it a performance, or is it inherently part of you? I always find that quite an interesting question to ask people, and find out what their motivation is, and what their connection is to
Yeah.
what they create.
I would
So.
say in my case, like, it's for writing. I don't, some of the stuff I write aren't, like, my particular favorite kinks, but they're all kinks that I understand conceptually.
Right.
So I understand, like, why it's attractive or what somebody would find attractive about that. So,
And
as
there's,
opposed,
yeah, go
go
on.
ahead. As opposed to stuff that I just have trouble understanding, which, I mean, again, I don't. Me not understanding is not me kink shaming. I respect all kinks. It's just some of them are ones where I'm just like, this
I don't
I
know
can't
anything
get
about
into the
that.
mindset where this is attractive to me personally. So.
Absolutely. It's but how amazing is it? We've got all this opportunity and this content and all these resources out, you know, here that's publicly available, that are publicly available for us to explore and to sort of poke around and just go, oh, what's that about?
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
I don't know what that is. How do I make that happen?
So, if I'm allowed to ask you a question, have you discovered any kinks in this community that you didn't know you had
Oh,
or that have gotten
yes.
more into?
I did a couple of AMAs early on. I did one at 500. Think I was, you know, all that in a bag of chips because, oh my God, 500 people are following me. And then I think I did another one about 3,000. And that question comes up quite regularly as well. And I most certainly have. I did not realize I'm a switch, and I didn't
Nice.
realize that I actually lean quite submissive, even though I'm a switch in personally, but I adore a mummy dom role play. That the whole good boy concept appeals to me greatly, with the limit of it not being incestuous, but role play. And I'm here for it, and it seems to be where the greatest response I get is from that particular genre.
That's awesome.
I'm still kind of tentatively dipping my toe in the whole monster girl concept. That's quite sort of new for me, but I've also explored cuckold, which I find is quite polarizing within the community, which kind of surprises me a little bit. But I just think it's something that I'm exploring, and a few different things, some more firm dom scripts I've filled in the past. I'm kind of looking a bit more for that at the moment. But yeah, I've got a. I love the whole friends to lovers. I love the whole slice of life thing. My background is in teaching. I lean pretty easily into the whole teacher student situation, whether I be the teacher or I am the student. That comes and the whole MILF mummy dom teacher, older woman, a younger guy, and because clearly I'm somewhat older than I think the average age of a female VA in this space, and I love it. So, it's been a journey. I've only just sort of ticked over a year last week, actually.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure. But I love it, and I love this aspect of getting to know people. And like you, I love listening to a podcast, or not that this is a podcast, people, don't get it twisted. This, so not professional. I love listening to AMAs and finding out, you're right, about the people that's like, yeah, I've seen you kicking around. What's your story? For this particular, I hate to say it series, but this get in my ears, I've really wanted to focus on the creator themselves, the person that is the creator, and how they create, and why, and all the questions about the creation and the contribution to the space. Not so much about the creator's personal life, because
You have to.
I get a lot of those. I get a lot of requests for, oh, can you interview them and ask them this, this, and this, and this, and what school did they go to, and just like, are they married? I was like, that's that's not what I'm here for. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. So I'm really, really glad I was able to have a chat with
Yeah,
you.
thank you.
I'm trying to get a broad range of the contributors to the whole range of contributors, whether they be mods or writers, editors, VAs, and also across the world, because clearly, the States and Canada, it would seem, have probably the largest cohort of I would assume. I'm sure there's probably statistics out there somewhere. but yeah, trying to get a range of creators from a range of countries. So thank you for being one of the few female script writers I've had a chance to talk with.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so
Yeah.
much for interviewing me. This was so much fun.
I'm glad. I'm glad. Just like I said, not professional, but you know, I love having a chat, and I hope people have gained some sort of insight to your process. I certainly have. So, where can people find? So, you're basically everything you've published is on all your works. Your public works are on Reddit.
Yep. Anything
Okay.
that's public and available for offer is on Reddit. I'm too busy with my job to do anything like commission work or anything like that right now.
Okay.
But if you
Yeah, I
have
was
like an
wondering that.
idea that you
Yeah.
want me to do and you just want to drop me a message, I'm not going to take offense to that at all because I'm always up for ideas. So if
Brilliant.
there's something you would just like me to do for free and post publicly and then you can take to record where you want. And I'm generally fine with Patreon recordings as long as people ask me first.
Sure,
I'm
that's a
cool
very
with
good.
that.
Yes, that's VAs take note. Yes, so people can find obviously your name will be in the body of the post. So you slash totally TOTALLY, not Natalie NOTNATALIE. Thanks so much, Nat, for sitting down and having a chat with me today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. This was so much fun.
Great. Look forward to seeing you in the wild.